Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Now, unless you are a top market player, you'll probably experience an unattractive view of the new car market. The average cost of a new car today is way past the car affordability scale for most South Africans. It's no wonder then that the second-hand car market is revving up on sales these days, and of course overtaking and overshooting the new car sales market. So the main question then is, do I sell my car and get cash for the car, or keep my old second car running middle of the road with fuel consumption also being a bit of a problem? So that's what we're talking about today. Do you want to keep that skadonk that you have, or maybe sell it and get a new car? That's what we're talking about this evening. And we've got my old friend and mate, Sis Joy Maleta, joining us. Good evening.
Evening, Tabelo, and good evening to your viewers. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing well. Can't complain.
It's been a while.
It's been forever.
I know, right?
But it's good to be here.
Thank you so much. It's been a while.
I hope our viewers were missing.
Definitely.
Yeah, I hope our viewers were missing our conversations. But yeah, it is good to be. It's good to be on air with you.
Fantastic. I know school is also keeping you, eh?
School is also keeping me very busy because we we like things.
Hey,
but nonetheless, we forge forward and we try and balance everything and hope for the best, because apparently it should be all worth it, right?
Hey, you know what I was thinking? I was actually saying to myself, you know, Rata Dinto, liking things, ne? Is actually, I don't know whether it's a bad or a good thing. I was like, ma, sometimes we like these things. It's almost like we like pain. I know people who go to gym, they've got this philosophy that no pain, no gain, and they like the pain of
it. No.
I don't.
Yeah, no pain, no gain, unfortunately. Sometimes you need to put in the hard work, right, to reap the benefits. So that's what we are hoping we're doing. We need to sow the seed,
look,
right? And you need to cultivate the seed. So hopefully
I would like to believe that, but honestly, no pain, no gain. But you can stay with your pain. Now I'm not about pain. Eh?
Listen, no pain, no gain, my friend.
But those coming good, I suppose, the books.
The books are coming okay. I obviously do have an assignment that I need to complete in the next 2 days.
Sure.
So just trying to, and balancing everything, right?
Yeah.
And you work overtime to try and do your schoolwork, and you've got your day job.
Mm.
So there's a lot of balancing that's happening. But like I said, I hope it all pays out.
Definitely. By God's grace, it will definitely pay out. Well, yes. Thank you so much for joining us. We're not going to keep it too long with your assignments and all. We're talking about a new car and keeping that old, I call it an old skadonk. And whether that's a good way to look at it. You don't like the way it is, skadonk, at the end of the day, isn't it?
Because I do have a skadonk, you know, in the house. So I'm like, why is it called a skadonk? Why?
It's probably worn out.
The seats
are probably halfway.
Those things are super fresh. Super fresh. How well you take care of
yourself. I see. Now that's very, very important. Okay, where do we start? My question is then, is there sort of like a trade-off between buying a new car and keeping that old one?
You know, obviously, I'm not a mechanic. I'm hoping this won't be a mechanical question because obviously that is not what we do, right?
Yeah.
But financially,
yeah,
it makes more sense to retain your old car. I was actually reading up, what a lot of writers are saying, or, you know, motor vehicle experts are saying about the lifespan of a car.
Mm.
You know, a car can literally last you for over 10 years.
Mm.
A car can run for over 10 years. And I think we've been I don't know, it's like, I think it's because the car depreciates, you know, faster during the first few years.
Yeah.
And so generally, finance institutions would, you know, finance the vehicle for 5 years, over 5 years.
Mm.
And so because of that, we just have this mentality that after 5 years, the car is worn out, and therefore I need to buy another one.
Yeah.
So that's generally the mindset that we have, right? That 5 years, once the 5 years is over, then I need to make sure that I buy another car because this one is all of a sudden going to give me issues.
Mm.
And that's what we've been made to believe. But I do have a VW car that is over 12 years old.
Sure.
And that still runs.
Sure.
And still drives and is still smooth and has not given us issues.
Sure.
And so I believe that when you do take care of your car, maintain it, service it, it should go the long way, right?
Mm.
It should be kind to you. We just need to be kind to these things. Just take it for a service when it needs one. Just like anything, right, that needs maintenance, you maintain it and hopefully it will treat you, you know, well. Because service, I mean, they'll replace the things that need to be replaced. You know, it's normal maintenance of a vehicle. Wear and tear, then you replace all the stuff that's not working anymore.
Mm.
Your vehicle should be as good as new, you know. So I really, especially now, looking at, I mean, you were talking about the average value of a car.
Mm.
It has, it increases by 5% year on year on average.
Mm.
That's insane. Right? Like the just buying the cost of a car is insane. 5% year on year increase. On top of that, you haven't even, you know, added the interest rate, you know, that you have to pay on that vehicle to finance it. So there's so many other things that come with owning a new car that, of course, I believe, you know, it does bring that added, I suppose, you know, advantage in that some cars do come with a service plan, a remoto plan.
Yeah.
And so it gives you that relief for a first few years. But obviously one would need to do the math to see what works better, right?
Yeah.
Because like we said, interest accumulates and obviously you need to finance that and pay that off over time.
I want us to then get into the issue of, I suppose, the considerations on buying a new car, because I find that, you know, most of us, when we buy the first car, it's almost like a grudge purchase, right? One, and sometimes it can be a status thing, whatever the case might be, but it's almost always like, I'm tired of taxis, I'm tired of being late, I'm tired of the bus always coming in late and making me late, I'm tired of explaining to my boss that it's not me, it's the bus, or it's the train, or it's whatever, so I'm constantly late at work. And so people just go in there and buy cars, right, without necessarily considering what then the financial considerations are. So I want us to just look into that in just a moment, but before we get into that one, with the second-hand market then almost overshooting the new car market, and there's a lot of people going into buying second-hand cars, this is, as you are saying, an issue of the economy not doing very well, isn't it?
Precisely. I mean, the economy is not doing well, but also, I mean, I've never been a fan of buying a car brand new.
Yeah.
I think we've had this conversation before, and I think repetition is the mother of learning, according to some scholars.
Yeah.
So, and I suppose we need to repeat these lessons, but we do know that as soon as you drive the car out of the dealer, it loses value.
Yeah.
So for me, I mean, if the car, you know, it depreciates at an accelerated rate during the first few years.
Mm.
And if we say maybe for the first 3 years, it's about on average 20% play.
Mm.
Already, you know, as you drive out, that's 0.05% if you do the math.
Yeah.
Already down the drain, right, in value. And so for me, it's never made sense to really buy a car brand new, but I do know that other people do have their reasons why they want to buy a car brand new. And it has to make financial sense.
Yeah.
But if you can get a car that is low mileage, you know, that's about 2 years old, but low mileage, that you can still get a lot of value from that vehicle, right? But for a less of a cost, because like we said, vehicles do depreciate at an accelerated rate for the first 2 years. So granted, you then get some of that value back over the longer term because it would have reduced by quite a bit in the first few years in value, right? So when they do resell it to you, it should be way less than what, not way less, but it should be significantly less than what they had bought it for. But considering the value that you're getting out of it, then it should make financial sense, right? So low mileage, you should still give you like longevity for that vehicle. And so for me, I've always been a secondhand market kind of girl, despite the fact that the economy is doing this terribly. But it actually also makes sense, right? Because people are strained. So now, if you are strained, what do? You get rid of debt, right? And so it opens up a market for people who are looking for secondhand vehicles because it's either people are letting go of those vehicles or for whatever other reasons. But because of all the stress, maybe, you know, someone had two cars and they feel it's not their street now to own two cars given the cost of living being this high. So I might as well just, you know, relieve, you know, or relieve myself of this additional debt and before the bank actually repossesses it. So it's probably like a better option. So that's why the secondhand market, I believe, is also booming. But it also does not make sense to buy a new car. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You've just burst a few bubbles there. Well, people would think, oh, but I wanted to buy a new car and all that.
I just don't. Because, I mean, it's a depreciating asset.
Yes.
I mean, I wouldn't even call it an asset. I mean, other people would like to call it an asset, I suppose, if you are reaping rewards or benefits from
it.
But it's depreciating. And I think because of all the other extras that you have to, that comes with owning a car, like you said, you know, when I used to, and if you are used to using public transport, literally the only thing you worry about is the fare, right?
Yes.
You worry about the taxi fare or the bus fare or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But once you own a car, it's not just the monthly installments. It's the monthly installments plus the insurance premium, plus, you know, making sure that you do have something saved away, you know, an emergency fund for any mechanical breakdowns that are perhaps not covered by your service plan, plus, you know, some wear and tear for your tires, plus. So there's so many other things that you need to take, plus fuel. So there's so many other things that you need to take into consideration that comes with a package of owning a new car. So when you are testing or checking your affordability, it's not just can I afford the installment, but it's can I afford the installment plus the other additional extras that come with actually owning a vehicle. So those are some of the things that, you know, have to be part of your financial plan as you make this decision of, and like you said, rightfully so, you know, people are probably working late or working far, and it does not make sense that I have to wake up as early as 3 o'clock to catch the bus to get to work. And maybe the car brings in that added convenience, much needed convenience for that matter. But you just need to do it responsibly, right? Before you go into it, you have to make sure that you've got all your ducks in a row, that you've actually you've done the math and you are pretty certain that whatever you're getting yourself into or what you are tying yourself into, you can maintain for the next coming 5 years whilst you are still indebted to the bank or the financial institution that has actually lent you.
I was actually thinking about that, I mean, you know, being a little bit technically around the marginal utility that you get from buying this car. Yes, I understand the financial implications of it, but there's also the marginal utility that I'm getting from this car. It's helping me, I suppose, you know, get to work earlier and all that. Do I even consider those?
I mean, that's what probably prompted you to even consider, right, from migrating from, you know, being a public transport user to actually buying your car. It's precisely that. You know, what are some of the benefits? And because it does not make sense for you to wake up that early. Or in actual fact, you've got two kids that you need to take to school. And so it makes more sense than you paying transport fare that you actually if you are all traveling to the same place, you might as well just buy a car. You know, it just makes financial sense for you to buy a car, because then you'll be traveling, all three of you together in one vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So there are so many other things that, you know, they give and take in all this exercise. It's just like when you are deciding to stay closer to work versus staying further from work, you look at all those other things, right? You look at, you know, there's that, you know, the cost of convenience that comes at a price. Convenience comes at a price. But then the other stuff that you then look into to say, actually, it saves me time, it saves me petrol, it saves me whatever the case may be. But we all have to do the math. That's why we need to, you don't just wake up unless you're really wealthy or you do have money, right, to spare. You don't just wake up and decide, okay, actually, today I'm going to go car shopping, right? You plan for these things, and those are some of the things that then make sense to you to say, what would you, because what would you allocate that value of convenience, how much is it worth for you as an individual, and you take that into account. So the convenience is worth so much, and so I'm willing to part with R1,000 for additional convenience, and then you start asking the other stuff, right? I'm willing to part with whatever, because it is the cost of owning a car, whatever the case may be. But if you need to account for the convenience, then you need to be able to allocate a certain value to the added convenience that it brings for you.
Now I'm thinking from my own experience. I don't know if it's the same, but perhaps some of the listeners as well. You know, you quantify it and you put it in numbers and you put in paper. This is going to be an extra R1,000 there and there. Like you said, the marginal utility of that is an extra R1,000. You calculate, okay, I can afford this thing. But there's something about owning a car where it just goes out of hand. Now you're traveling on Sundays. You didn't plan to travel on Sundays when you're calculating all these things. And they start escalating these prices. Where's the problem here now?
No, and that's the thing, right? Because you used to control your travel.
Exactly.
Right? You'd be like, if I'm going to work, I'm going to go to work, and then after work, then I'll pass by the mall there, by the taxi rank, I'll get the stuff that I need.
Yeah.
Now you defer all those things, right? Because you don't generally just pass by the mall, right? Because you're driving from point A to point B, and maybe the mall is not within the route that you are traveling, right? And so now it becomes like an additional, you know, route that you have to, or destination that you have to plan for. And sometimes some of those things then get chucked for the weekend, and you start planning some of your, you know, weekend. And then before you know it, there's family to visit. And then before you know it, there's this and that. So many other things are then coming into play, because now you know, it's not about you calculating the time, you know, because previously you'd be like, I'm a taxi. I appear at such and such a time. And so I need to make sure. Now, you can just be like, 3 o'clock, there's something that needs to be taken care of. You have, you know, you just take your car keys, you drive out, and you go take care of that thing. Whereas previously you defer some of those things, and you'd be like, I'll see it on my way, you know, back from work or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And so again, it's just that added convenience, because it's here and it's moving. Therefore, it can really take you from point A to point B at whatever time you wish for it to take, because you control the vehicle, right?
Yeah.
And so it comes, and like you said, rightfully so, it comes with those additional costs. And I mean, I think the one thing with this kind of market that we're in, again, interest rates, variable rates, right, the financing our vehicles, that these things, if you've got debt, any kind of debt, you need to factor in, you need to create a buffer for these eventualities that often pop up. You know, we've had escalations over 10, I think, rate increases. Yeah.
There's another one coming.
And that's insane. Our rates have surpassed 2008 levels.
Yeah.
And so it's insane. It's crazy. And
it is.
None of us had actually planned for it. None of us. Right? None of us had actually planned for such, you know, at such an accelerated pace, these hikes. And so now we have to obviously fund these hikes somewhere. And now it's not only the car, it's the car, it's the house. And maybe you do have other, you know, debt. And so it becomes too much. And that's why it's very important that as we always need to create a buffer.
Yeah.
When we're testing our affordability, it's what can I afford can I, you know, can I afford when there are things like this that are happening? You know, can I still afford my vehicle? And so we need to make sure that we take all these things into consideration. I think that's part of the decision making process. As I'm looking at purchasing this vehicle, whether brand new or secondhand.
Yeah.
But that's part of the decision making process.
Yeah. Okay. Before we look at the old car now, that like you said, you don't like Skadonk.
The Skadonk.
But that's before you look at, you know, running with a Skadonk. You said, you know, one has to think when you buy a new car, you need to think about the insurance premium, the mechanical breakdowns, blah blah, fuel, and all those sort of stuff, marginal utility even, and add it in there and see how much that comes up to. Because yes, the installment is $5,000, but you find that you're going to be running this thing for $10,000, and maybe you did not even make provision for that $10,000. So you're saying we should start thinking about that when we're buying a new car. Now, might be a rhetorical question, but I do think that it is a question worth asking. Can we run away from status buying a new car?
Can we run away from status?
Yes, when you're buying it, because there's obviously status. I mean, no one has an old Skadonk and puts it on Instagram and be like, hey, you know, we all want to put these new ones when I drive out of the dealership, you
That's
know,
the
and it's on
That's
Instagram. Can we run away from those things, like, seriously and practically?
That is the problem. That is the problem. I mean, I think as individuals, yes, we must have kulile. We are grown now. Sorry for using the neck. But kulile, we don't have time for that. You shouldn't have time for that, especially when it comes to your finances. You know, you need to take, you need to guard your finances so preciously and so deeply, because this is about you and no one else. When you are in trouble, those people that were pressing like and praising and doing whatever, they are tucked in nicely away in their houses or in their homes. And they are worried about their own situation. And so it's very important that when you're making financial decisions, it should never really be about that, right? The status or what someone else thinks or whatever. It should be, why am I, like we said, you know, you look at, why do I need this car? Unless really, like we said, unless you have the finances. But if you are like me and you're trying to make sure that, actually, I need this car, I need it for these very reasons. You know, yes, I want the comfort or whatever the case may be. Can I afford the comfort? Yes, I can afford the comfort, or I can't afford the comfort, therefore I'll go for this, you know, and we weigh all these things up as we're making the financial decision. The status and what people will do or what people will say should be the last thing on your mind, the last thing on your mind, because that's exactly what gets us into trouble, right? Because we want to post with that very particular song that is always playing when people are buying cars, and so you don't want to be left out. But unfortunately, that is a trap. You know, Instagram has gotten a lot of people under fire. We are seeing people here being exposed, SARS coming after people who have ripped SARS, you know, off, who have manipulated, you know, things and situations, and they all SARS millions, but they are driving these expensive cars, and SARS is now taking those cars, right? And so it's not really worth it. It's not worth it, guys. I think your finances are for your own sanity. The way that you manage your finances, it should be for your own mental health and your own sanity. And so we should definitely run away from status. It should never be about status, but it should be about what are some of those things that you value and that you want from that vehicle, right? And it should just be about that.
Yeah. There's a comment there that's came, but before I read the comment, I'm thinking to myself, Woody, have you guys seen when Adventists are gathered in one place? Huh? Whether it's for a camp meeting.
Please do not tell me. Do not tell me about those camp meetings, because
the
I know
cars
stories about
that are
those
parked
things.
Outside.
I know stories.
You know?
Please, I know stories about those things. They people, no, please. Do not fall for it. Do not fall for it. It is a trap. Even Adventists can get you into trouble. Do not fall for it. I've had serious stories about that. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, let's not go there.
Okay, so there you go. Even if you pass an Adventist church or you go to events, don't be taken by the cars that you're seeing outside. Because,
do not.
Wow, those cars. There's Porsches parked outside, Joy. I mean,
listen,
we're talking Porsches here.
I'm a posh myself.
Yeah.
Listen, I need to, listen, guys, you just, like we said, you know, your finances are so personal.
Yeah.
They are so personal that it should never be about someone else.
Mm.
It should never be about what other people are doing, right? As much as you might think, because oftentimes we think that we are like our friends.
Yeah.
Or we think like, we think that we are like the people we associate with.
Yeah.
You don't know, we don't know half the things that those people have to go through or what they need to put in. But because we chill together, all of a sudden we are the same. We are not. And so that's why personal finance is personal finance. It's about you and your money and never about, it's not communal. It has never been communal. It's always been personal. And so once you want to assess yourself relative to someone else, and because Thapelo can do it, so therefore I can do it myself, that's the biggest, you know, that's the biggest mistake we can ever do for ourselves. And that's what actually creates the envy and the jealousy. And because now I don't understand how Thapelo is doing it, because Thapelo and I both work a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
How is he doing it that I can't, you know, why am I not able to do it? But you don't know the other things that Thapelo is doing or the other work that he's putting into after that 9-to-5. You don't know that.
Yeah.
And so unless you really understand, you don't know what kind of deals Thapelo has struck at work with his employer.
Yeah.
You don't know those things.
Yeah.
And so just because you think that we are both in the same field or we're doing the same thing, and therefore I can mark myself against the next person.
Yeah.
That's always, you know, it always calls for disaster. Yeah. Unfortunately, and just heartache, and just, you know, it's not good for our mental health.
Yeah, it's not good for our mental health. The comment says, "Kunzima bazalwane, point A to point B, car, no detours. Like, we're not taking any detours."
Point A to point B, I was not going there. It's very tough.
Yeah.
It's very tough. I mean, I was looking at the slip just today. I know that the petrol apparently is going down by a few cents.
Yeah.
But I was looking at the slip today from KZN, you know, obviously by the coast side, it's a bit cheaper, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Compared to us in Joburg. I was like, when did we get to 26 rand something per litre? Like, when did we get to those levels?
Yeah.
And so now there's the cost of food. Everything is intertwined. Everything is combined, guys. Everything is interrelated. We can't divorce the one from the other because all these require money from the same pocket, right?
Eesh.
You still need to buy food. You know, you still need to buy. So all these things need to be taken into consideration. And so when we're doing these plans, we have to take into account also that there's inflation on food.
Yeah.
And now I can't be driving a car but not eating at home. Right?
Yeah.
So all these things it's all a balancing act, and just making sure that you've got all your all the factors right so that you can balance them. We can never get them 100% right, but we need to try and make sure that we get everything balanced correctly and appropriately.
The comment says
it's quite a
Inkosi Yabusisa, guys, aim for the stars. God's children can't be beaten by influencers. So there you go.
There we go. We can't be beaten by influencers.
You
know? Correct. Wait for your time.
Yeah.
Wait for the right time. Because when you rush it, that's when we see flames. But wait for the right time.
That's when we see flames. Let's end up with the old skadonk that's sitting there. What are considerations there? I mean, I'm thinking... I mean, that thing probably wants paint every other day. That thing has an engine that, you know, kind of breaks down every 2 minutes, and I'm under that car. In the middle of a camp meeting, it's supposed to start. It decides when it doesn't want to start. And now people in their suits and white and two pieces can't be pushing my car. And so I must wait for everyone to leave. You know, I wait for everyone to leave before I can start my car because, hey, it's showing me flames. Let's be honest, though. That old skadonk, no.
Mara, let me tell you.
Yeah.
You know, the trick is when you're buying a car, always buy neutral colors because they don't fade.
Ah, okay. Okay. There you go.
When you go for your white will stay white. You don't need new paint.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So there are these, the neutral colors, they will treat you good. They will be good to you.
They don't look
also good. This is now from personal experience, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we do have a car that is over 12 years old.
Yeah.
That vehicle has been faithful to us. Right? It was once our luxury car at some point, you know, like, you know, and that was, that was the luxury car at some point to us. That vehicle, that VW, has been faithful. And like anything, when your body is in trouble, right, it'll give you an indicator. You'll probably have a headache or whatever the case. They always signs. Vehicles also do the same thing. It'll tell you this is, you know, there's something wrong here. You take it to the right place, they fix that thing, then the vehicle moves. It'll tell you, it'll refuse to start, or there's something wrong with the stutter. You take it to the right place, they fix the stutter. The challenge comes when we don't, do the fixing. It's like a crack in a house. Once you have a crack and you don't fix it right there and then, that crack will deepen and get worse. And so that's what happens, I believe, with anything that you don't maintain. If you don't maintain your vehicle, it won't treat you well. But once it gives you indicators, then you have to make sure that you take it in. And that's why I think, because you would have probably paid it off a long time ago, the only thing that you then save for is literally just making sure that it's still insured, because you don't want, you know, the eventuality that if something happens, then you don't have a car anymore, right? So you make sure that it's still insured. So it's the cost of insurance that you probably have to worry about, apart from the all other stuff, the fuel. But at least you don't have an installment to worry about. But from whatever it is that you would have paid towards installments, you take that and you chuck it away for emergency in the event that you do have like a big mechanical breakdown, or in the event that your vehicle needs like a major service. Right. So you know that you do have those funds nicely tucked away, and that you will do. And that happens when once in a while, right? It will probably be once in 5 years that that vehicle will need a major service. It's not going to be once every year. It's like once in a while that it will need major service. And then in between, it's the small things that you'd have to fix, the brake pads, changing the tires, just like you would with a new car. But the cost is much more cheaper, because even with the insurance, it's a lot lesser, right? Because it is an old car, right? And the thing is, once the car becomes old, there is some value that it retains, because it's moving, it's fresh, it's still maintained. You can still sell it off for something. It's not like you're going to give it away for free, or it loses value and it depreciates completely to zero. It does not. As long as it still moves and it performs, you can still sell it for a good price, and then you can get something in return. But keeping a car and maintaining it and servicing it, it's a lot less cheaper, let's be honest, than the price of an installment, where now I have to worry about, you know, with our old skadonk, I don't have to worry about rising interest rates. Because I don't owe the bank any money, right? So those interest rates can do whatever they want to do. I we don't really worry much about it when it comes to the old skadonk. So those are some of the things that it just gives you that sense of relief that it is yours, it belongs to you, and you know, there's, you know, the cost of actually running it is a lot less cheaper than the cost of running a car that you still own. Let's differentiate, because maybe other people are going to buy the car cash. You know, we are talking about financing the vehicles now. So that's the difference. If I'm going to finance a vehicle versus keeping my old car, I'd probably keep my old car than financing if my old car is still moving and is still doing well. And obviously, once it starts giving major issues, then it's time for you to let it go. Then you do let it go. But generally, 20 years plus, that car should still perform.
20 years plus, that car should still perform. I think, like you said, when you started, it's a psychology, I suppose, that's tied to the repayment period that we have for that car. And so we think anything beyond 5 years, this thing, I must just get rid of it and sell it, or whatever the case might be. It's not going to work and all that. And so we put ourselves under pressure to get rid of it and buy a new one. It's almost like you're moving from a period of, you know, being tightly squeezed, paying off this car, instead of taking a breather, and then we jump onto another one, and then we have that. Now, as we end on this, I wanted to say two cars, people who have a new car and still keeping the old one, what do we say to those?
Listen, I mean, that's what we've done as well. If we do have it, well, it's not new anymore, because I pretty much have two skadongs, but anyway, the other one is fairly new. I mean, the other. but you know, and there's always going to be that car that you, you know, use as reliable.
Mm.
And it depends obviously on your household needs, because sometimes if you do have, if you don't need, let's start with the need. If you don't need two cars, then there's no need for you to have two cars. Right? Then you don't need to keep the old car. If you've got a new car, then you might as well sell the old car and then use that money to actually, you know, pay off the new car, or at least part pay off, you know, you know, reduce some of that that debt. That's the one option. But in instances where you need both cars for whatever reason, right, because it's two of you in the house and you do need both cars, then it makes sense to have one that is fully paid and one that you still paid off. And also, it also just helps, you know, with, because remember, when we are doing these insurance policies, you have an option of either, when in instances that you know, of getting a courtesy car or not getting a courtesy car.
Yeah.
And sometimes if there's another vehicle at home, you can opt out of the courtesy car, right? Because then you can reduce some of those costs, those premium costs to a certain extent.
True.
So those are some of the things that you then take into consideration to say, actually, we do have a vehicle at home. It's still functioning well. Ahmed, we can still be able to help each other for the 30 days that they give you the courtesy car for. And so therefore, I might not actually need to take this additional extra when it comes to insurance. So those are some of the things that, you know, and again, it's according to a needs analysis. If we don't need two cars, if you are one person and you don't need two cars, then don't have two cars, because it's a cost. It's an unnecessary cost. Also, if the skadonk is sitting there not doing anything and not moving, it also will deteriorate, right? Because then the battery will die, or this or that, or the other.
Yeah.
So the car needs to be on the road. It needs to move, right? It needs to move for it to continue functioning. Yeah. So again, if you don't need two cars, don't have two cars. But if you have an old car that is fully paid off, the better. With another car, because you do need two cars, the better for you.
Yeah.
Two financed cars, again, I say, I don't know, I pray for you. But yeah.
So there you go. You must do a thorough needs analysis and see whether you do need two cars. If there isn't a need, just maybe sell the other one. Any final thoughts? But thank you so much for your time. Let's hear if any final thoughts from you.
I mean, like I said, I mean, obviously, when we do have these conversations, most of them are going to be at a very general level, because each individual's situation is unique, right?
Yeah.
And very different. And and that's why we always emphasize, when you're talking personal finance, it's personal to you. And so you need to understand your own, you know, situation, so that you can do a proper assessment of your own financial situation and then decide from there. But what we are doing here, I believe these are just tools to say, oh, I actually need to think about this. I need to think about that. Have I thought about that before I actually jump into that decision-making, before I make that decision? So really, I hope that, you know, when you are about to make that decision, if really you do have a car that is moving and that is still treating you well, just treat it well and it should be able to carry you along. But again, if your car is giving you issues and you do need a car, just then make sure that whatever decision you make with regards to the car that you're going to purchase, reliability should be the first thing at the top of the assessment, or whatever. I need a car that is reliable, as opposed to I need this car, right? And again, the second bit is I need a car that I can afford, as opposed to I want a BMW, can I afford it? It's, you know, this is what I can afford. What car options are available for me out there in the market?
Yeah.
So it should be the other way around, as opposed to trying to retrofit, you know, you know, your chosen car and to your finances. Your finances need to fit, or the car needs to fit into your finances, as opposed to the other way around. So those, I think, would be my, I think if you catch that and you really do that and run with it, I think you should be able to be, you know, to sleep well at night, you know, to sleep well at night and not being scared that your car might be repossessed any day from now.
Sure. Thank you so much, ma'am. Once again, really appreciate your thoughts and, you know, hope we can pick up this conversation again next time.
Thank you so much for having me, and good evening to your listeners.
Thank you so much. That was Ochoa Malete talking to us about this thing of choosing whether to keep your old skadonk or buy a new one. I love the comment that she made there. Do not try to retrofit, you know, the car that you're buying into your finances, but it should be the other way around. The car should fit into your personal finance and not try and get your personal finance to fit into your car. Hey, that's a delicate balance.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content. Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Do you think the world is getting better or worse? Unsurprisingly, a huge majority of people today believe the world is getting worse. Maybe this global pessimism is the result of a culture bathed in bad news, or maybe we inherently know the earth-shaking truth presented at the heart of this book. Something is deeply wrong with our planet, and we are powerless to fix it. The Great Controversy not only unveils the origin of human degradation, but also discloses the titanic struggle raging below the din of pandemics and peril, corruption and carnage, murder and mayhem. In this astonishing work, you will discover that evil has a face, good has a champion, and sin has an end. If you want to prepare for the end of this world and the glorious world to come, you must read this book. Join the campaign to distribute millions of copies of The Great Controversy by Ellen G. White to people in and around your communities. Contact your local church for more information or text us at +27 73 470 3520. Adventist World Radio, SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.